You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call them every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good the Wednesday, June the 9th, 2021. The show, as you've come to love, DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Take you up till 8 o'clock. That's when KJZ takes over. What do we have today? Oh, yeah. Little Stump Rothenberg, 6:45. Buster Olney at 7:15. We'll get into the spin rate. We'll get into Garrett Cole. And that was unbelievable yesterday. I never want him if I'm an attorney on the witness stand. That was not a great look from him. But a couple things I want to get into today. Real quickly, before we really start with the sports talk. And, of course, it is June the 9th. Chris Canty, good morning. 3 months from today, September the 9th. 3 months from the day. Do you know what that is?
It's the start of the NFL season?
That's correct.
Ooh. In the kickoff game, we got the Cowboys-Bucks.
We got the 0-1 Dallas Cowboys leaving the field against the Super Bowl champion, Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is correct.
Dave, Ray Santiago just said you're almost guaranteeing a win for the Cowboys by touching the money 3 months out from the start of the season.
That's fine. I can go back and forth. I can waffle as we get closer. Today, I feel very confident. In that football game. I don't have the Cowboys stop the Bucs, but that's not where I wanted to get to, Rick.
Okay.
Good morning, Rick. How are you? Who won MVP of the NBA yesterday?
Yeah, you're right. I actually got the checks all written out. Just got to know where to send it.
There we go.
I'll take the L on that one.
$250 to the kids.
Nice. That? We'll take it.
Yes. Does that go in my name? Is that on
it should be donated on the behalf of Dave Rothenberg. It should be.
No, that wasn't in the initial deal.
No, it was not. But I think the right thing to do, the appropriate thing to do, would be to make it in my name to the Chris Canty Foundation.
Yeah. See if we can work one of those Jeff Bezos type tax write-offs for Dave Rothenberg.
No, I'm not in the interest of helping Dave out. I'm helping the kids out. Dave won. I lost. I'll take it. But we all win because the kids get the $250.
Yes, right. But it could be a win-win, though. Like, the kids could win and Rothenberg can win. You could facilitate your teammates' greatness.
I'm all set. I'm good.
Yeah. You see,
Dave does a good enough job all for 3 hours doing that.
I'm just saying, if you put that goodwill out in the world, Rico, it might come back in the form of a Game 6 win for your Islanders. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm a little on edge with that. Little on edge.
Yeah. Well, you could put good karma into the world. You could make the check out to the Chris Canty Foundation via Dave Rothenberg.
I'm good. I don't think helping out a Ranger fan is going to help my Islanders tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, you know,
if it means that Utah wins, here's the thing, though. Here's where I struggle, because if it helps sports karma wise with Utah winning the championship and the naked video being released, then that would be something I'd have to think about.
Well, it won't hurt sports karma wise.
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to really think about it, because especially on a Wednesday, it's Stump Rothenberg where you'll just pontificate on how great you are for 15 straight minutes. Because, of course, Stump Rothenberg gets the most time of all the segments. I don't need to do more to help you out.
Mm. Do you want to eliminate Stump Rothenberg? Is that what you want to do? Is that
No, 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 no. We're not doing that.
No, that's fine. Let's do it.
Rothenberg is appointment radio. See, I know what you're doing right now, Dave. You want us to want it. Like, you want us to beg and plead and tell you how much we love Stump Rothenberg. We're not going to do it. Nobody wants to get rid of Stump Rothenberg. Nobody even suggested that.
Well, you want it, let me give it to you properly. The way he talks about it, the negative connotation that he has with Stump Rothenberg, maybe he does want to move on from it. And if he does, And if he questions the legitimacy, then we'll move on from it. I don't need to do it.
I'm just asking for less pomp and circumstance. Like, I don't need you at that every question how great you are. I mean, just answer the questions. Let's move along. And that's okay. All it has to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be, oh, look at me. I'm 1-0. I'm the best.
I'm a big star, you know.
Some questions are deserving of a little celebration. And if you can't handle that, then you know what? I don't know what to say.
Well, no, I don't disagree, buddy. I mean, you're like the LeBron James of trivia. It's like you have to tell everyone how great you are. Like, let us tell you how great you are. You get a good answer right, then we'll say, oh, my God, I can't believe you got that answer.
All right, I'm willing to throw an olive branch out there with you today. I will say nothing. I will walk in like George at the Soup Nazi. I'll walk in. I'll place my order. I'll move to the end of the line. I'll get the questions right, and I will leave the store. However, in return, if I impress in any one answer, I want one of the two of you just to wax poetic. Oh, Dave, that's a job. What a job by you this morning.
You answer the question right. You answer the questions right, and Canty and I will provide the play-by-play on how great you are. How's
okay.
That?
Done.
That's how we'll work it. Just because, again, we all know. Everyone knows. Now, you're kind of tiptoeing that line between, like, this amazing confidence, and now you're kind of, like, almost on the other side of where you're getting a little cocky with this.
It's very difficult, and when I get answers correct, I'm very proud of myself. We'll get into that at 6:45 this morning. Yankees win. Got to be thrilled about that. Mets lose. That was a disaster, and they announced already that David Peterson will be making his next start for the Mets, but let's start with what went on with Gerrit Cole yesterday. He was asked about using the additional substance, the spider tack, I guess it's called, and the answer is just, it was horrifying. How he had no idea that could potentially be a question is just a bad job by everybody around this situation.
You don't think going into that interview that he thought he was going to be asked that question?
Well, I think he should have.
He had to know he was going to be asked that question, Rico. He got called out by Josh Donaldson in the article from The Athletic. He had to know.
He knew how to answer it, though. If you use it, which he obviously does, and I told you that weeks and weeks ago where he goes into his glove for whatever the substance is. I mean, how do you answer that question?
You spin it forward. You don't acknowledge what happened in the past. You're saying this is something that Major League Baseball is trying to crack down on, something that they want to emphasize, and I'm going to be in compliance with the rules moving forward. Period. Hard stop.
That actually sounds a lot better. You're right.
Any answer is better if you don't have a five-second pause before you start talking.
Multiple pauses like that? And if he would have come out and said, you know what, I've used it for years, and I thought it was okay, and in fact, I think it was okay, but I'll never use it again.
No. Cannot say that, no.
It would have been better than what he did.
No, it would not have.
Yes, it would have.
No, it would not have. Because now we're just left to assume that he does do it. Canty's answer was the answer. Your answer was not the answer. Because now this has turned into sticky stuff. No, because now we're at a point where people are looking at sticky stuff, especially the spider tack and all these things that aren't, you know, suntan lotion and rosin as cheating. So now you're going to be labeled a cheater. Because again, baseball puts you in a position that you're going to be looked at by fans as you're a cheater. Because now it's a problem for Major League Baseball. The wink, wink. Okay, you can use sticky substances because I'm not going to call you out because my pitchers are doing the same thing, has now turned into, we're going to make the baseball lighter. And of course, what happens? You know, you're a lighter baseball and you can with a sticky grip, it's going to spin like crazy. And guys can't hit it. And now it's a problem because baseball is boring. So now we'll just heap all the blame on the players. The pitchers fall.
Rico, let me ask you this question, and I know that the pitchers have kind of taken it to the extreme by using this spider tack stuff, but didn't the hitters once upon a time want the pitchers to put a little something on the baseball just so they can improve control? They wouldn't have to worry about pitches coming at their head at 95 miles an hour. Like, didn't once upon a time in baseball, like, hitters like, yeah, we want the guys to put a little something on the baseball just to improve their command?
This has happened since baseball's existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like early in the season when it's cold out or late in the season when it's cold out is you want a guy to make sure he has, because there's so many new baseballs in play that you want to make sure he has a grip of the baseball. Because when you're throwing that fast, God forbid, you know what I mean? Like, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have the guy know at least, you know, where the ball is going. It's now at a point where pitchers get smarter and they're adjusting. And, you know, okay, if suntan lotion and rosin is good, you know, what potentially could be better? And now when they realize how much, you know, what the benefits of having this kind of spin rate is, and you're seeing it now. We talked about it yesterday. You know, if your ball, if your four-seam fastball spinning, you know, better than 2,500 revolutions, then, you know, the batting average goes significantly down. I think it's 217, which is actually, which is funny because that's on par with the average on Garrett Cole's four-seam fastball.
Is that his number?
That's 218 on his four-seam fastball. So, yeah, and again, I mean, this is the whole, like, the Patriots are the biggest cheater in sports. We may have to look at Houston as the biggest cheater in sports at this point.
Yeah. Every pitcher that goes to Houston, it completely changes. So we discussed Garrett Cole. I'm sure you heard it yesterday, but there are probably some who did not. It is unbelievable. He was as ill-prepared for this question as I've ever heard anybody. I mean, there's probably, like, when you hear dead air moving forward, don't look at your radio. Don't look at your app. Don't adjust and say something has gone wrong. No, no, no. This is just Garrett Cole hemming and hawing as he's asked the question about using SpiderTac. Here he is.
And have you ever used SpiderTac while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
Oh, God, is that bad? Oh, my God.
Dave, Garrett Cole found himself in one of those Jada Pinkett Smith entanglements with that question. Like, here's the thing. If you're going to address it or in terms of what you did personally, don't pass the buck on the generation of players that came before you. Like, if somebody asks you a direct question, don't say, well, it's because of the customs and practices that came before me. You know, that's why I'm using, you know, the SpiderTac or the stuff that I'm enhancing my grip with on the baseball. It's because of the guys that played the game before me. That's why I'm using it now. Like, don't do that. Like, I just feel like that makes no sense. Like, if you're going to address what you did personally, then address what you did personally. But if you're not going to take any kind of accountability for what you did, then just try to spin it forward. That's the part that didn't make sense to me about his answer.
Well, I think part of it was he was pissed. Now, he didn't answer the question right. But he was almost like, as he stopped,
pissed
then he went
what?
Off to kind of.
But then, what is he pissed at?
Well, then he went on to kind of. He went on to defend it, because he knows what's coming. Like he's staring down what's happening right now. Is that he's been? I mean, he's been named three different times, and it's clear. I mean, he's doing something, and it sounds like by not answering, no, do you use SpiderTac? That it's SpiderTac is what he's using, or some kind of mix of those kind of substances. And the reason why he started it was because I'm sure when he got to Houston, Justin Verlander was doing it. And this is something that had never been a problem up until this point. And because we're now here, but you saw what happened with steroids too, it was the same thing. It was these blurred lines. Guys were doing it. Major League Baseball was complicit with it. And everything was fine. Guys were hitting home runs. Baseball was great. Chicks dig the long ball. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't do it anymore. And now everything that they had accomplished leading up to that point was now in jeopardy. Because now you're a cheater. And Garrett Cole is going to be the face of that. Because God forbid he goes out tonight and has a bad outing and his spin rate's down again and everything else, he is going to be the face of this thing.
Yeah, but Rico, why are you throwing everybody else under the bus, though? That's the part that I don't get. I don't understand that. Like, you're being asked a direct question because other players around the league are accusing you of doing something. You don't then go back and say, well, there are so many other guys that did this before me. That's kind of like with Kobe Bryant trying to deflect after being caught cheating on his wife. Like, well, Shaquille O'Neal is doing it. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, they're asking you a direct question. Either you're going to cop to it or you're going to try to deflect and just talk in generalizations about what Major League Baseball and the Players Association will try to do moving forward. Don't go back to yesteryear and say, well, yeah, these guys, because of their customs and practices passed down, you know, kind of created this culture where this is what you do. Even if that's the truth.
No, it is the truth. That is 100% the truth.
Even if that's the truth, you don't put the blame on them for you deciding that you're going to cheat. You don't.
Yeah, but he's trying. What I think he's trying to do is explain to people that don't really know, they're just going to jump on this and say that you're cheating, as to why this has been going on. I mean, they showed a Gaylord Perry quote last night where he was quoted as saying, "I go with substance on two different places. That way, in case I get caught with one, I still have the other one." Because yeah. It's unprofessional to be out there with nothing on you.
It's been going on forever. I mean, you remember Joe Niekro with the nail file that he threw out of his pocket when they went to check him? I mean, Pineda with the stuff all over his neck. We've seen it forever. It's not an unusual thing. But the reaction, my question is, had the Yankees had no idea? Like, no one within the organization said, let's sit down and kind of practice when you're eventually asked about this, how you're going to respond? That's the way he came out and answered these questions was incredible to me yesterday.
Well, I think he's his own man. I mean, I don't understand going in that how you don't, like, can't these answers the right answer? Like, I think for some reason in that moment he wanted to defend. Because he didn't deny it. He's clearly doing it. But he felt like he wanted to defend himself.
How can you defend yourself when you're cheating? How can you do that?
Because stop using the word cheating. Because it hasn't been cheating until now. It has not been considered cheating until now. Now it's cheating because they've drawn a line.
It hasn't been cheating in baseball. So during the steroid era, players that were taking PEDs, they weren't cheating?
They don't see it as that.
No, I'm just asking. But like by the letter of the law, would we define that as cheating or not? I mean, because I'm sure that there were guys that weren't taking PEDs during that time.
You know, but here's the thing, though, Chris. What you're misunderstanding, though, is this has been happening. Like, the reason why, as a player, you get into situations like this is because there's a gray area. Because, by rule, this is something that, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing. But there's a gentleman's agreement, is what they're calling it, between people in baseball, managers. Unless it's blatant, like Michael Pineda, our guys are going to do it, and your guys are going to do it. And if it goes unchecked for that long, guys are smart now. Like, they'll continue to find, I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, or whatever you want to call it, they'll find ways to get as many advantages as possible. So, oh, this sticky stuff is good. Well, let's try this stuff. Maybe this stuff is better. And now they've mastered it. And now it's made baseball unwatchable.
It is, because all it is.
How is this different than baseball juicing the baseball? Or now baseball trying to make the baseball not fly as far so guys can't hit as many home runs.
It's the same thing. You're manipulating the game of baseball.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
Garrett Cole.
Have you ever used spider tap while pitching?
I don't know. I don't know if... I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
And now he's incriminated himself even more after that conversation yesterday.
If you're asked a yes-no question and you don't say no, then you're saying yes.
But you saw what happened with steroids, too. It was the same thing. It was these blurred lines. Major League Baseball was complicit with it, and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't do it anymore. And it's clear he's doing something. Baseball's a mess.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Stump Rothenberg coming your way at 6:45 this morning. Time now for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I didn't tell you guys. I was lurked on yesterday.
No chance.
I'm telling you, I was lurked. I was the lurky, yes. Online lurking. There's nothing wrong with it. It wasn't even online. It was in-person lurking.
Who'd you catch lurking, Dave?
I have been lurking.
Who'd you catch lurking?
I went into the pharmacy. And I was getting eye drops for Alex. There's no negative connotation towards lurking. You have nothing to be concerned about. And as I picked up the eye drop over the counter, a man was standing next to me. And he says, "You're telling me you wouldn't go to space for $100 million? I was like, "What?" I was completely caught off guard. He's like, "On the show this morning, you were talking about, you know, you wouldn't go to space like Jeff Bezos for any amount of money. You wouldn't go to space for $100 million? I was like, "Whoa." It was
that is big time being lurked on, Dave. Look at you. Celebrity.
I mean, that's lurking.
Celebrity. Just picks up a conversation with you at the pharmacy.
So I walk into the banana section, and the guy's like hiding behind the pineapples.
The banana section.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, how about that, though?
That's impressive, crazy. Dave. That's impressive, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a little creepy. I maybe see what you guys are talking about. It was a little unsettling. That I'm just.
No, I don't even know if that's not even. I don't know if that's lurking. He was just trying to. I mean, he was probably nervous. I mean, he's a big
nervous.
Fan of the
well,
show.
Well, why is that unsettling though, Dave? I mean, here's the thing: we do a show every single day. We're a part of people's routine, so I guess he felt comfortable enough with you to be able to pick up the conversation where we left off on the show earlier yesterday morning.
How about, hey, Dave, big fan of the show. By the way, was listening earlier. Not just you would go to space for $100 million. I was like, wait, what? Excuse me?
He wanted to start up a conversation. He wanted to let you know that he was listening.
Exactly.
Dave, I'm a big fan of the show. You know, I appreciate what you guys do every morning. I was listening this morning, and I just couldn't believe the space conversation surrounding Jeff Bezos. I just thought the way he approached it was a tad unsettling.
No, I think that's a lot closer to the flattery side than the creepy side. What you did to Diana Rossini was creepy.
So what this gentleman did is standing next to me in the eye drop section, not creepy.
No.
Me telling Diana that I'm you know, just lovingly lurking on the side on social media.
Did you at all take it in a negative light that I asked and was pleased and congratulated you on your nuptials?
So,
Garrett Cole type answer right there. Right.
Not Garrett Cole.
Right.
Garrett Cole would have waited like another 4 to 5 seconds to give that answer.
Garrett Cole in that press conference was like me doing my first open, is what it sounded like.
You could probably line them up.
Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
That gets worse. And then every time you hear Garrett Cole's answer to that question, it gets worse. Every single time, it gets worse.
It gets worse and worse and worse. But I, you know what? I will defend you just for a moment here. You had no idea this was coming. You had absolutely no idea. My Comrex went out right before the show, and it was sprung on you. Now, what you did was embarrassing. I think we all agree with that. But it was sprung on you. At the 11th hour, all right, Rick, you got to take control and you got to run the show. Garrett Cole should have known that this was going to happen. He should have been well prepared. Hey, you're going to be asked. Let's figure out an avenue for you to take to not sound ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the mindset going into that interview was. Maybe he got caught off guard.
How?
The guy asked him about exactly what he was using. Maybe. It'd be like if you were asked a question, like if you got caught doing something silly on your girlfriend or your wife, and she was like, the question was, are you cheating on me? And you're like, no. But if she's like, are you cheating on me with Destiny? Like she knew exactly who it was. You'd be like, oh.
Now you're really called out?
Yeah, now like you know she knows. Now you're like, you can't even lie. Like you know she knows. Like you say spider tech, he's like, whoa, okay, now they know. How do I get around this one? But I can't deny it because that's exactly what I'm using.
If I take really long pauses, that'll throw them off the scent completely, and it'll confuse the heck out of them.
Well, he's clearly guilty.
Of course he's
guilty. That's the takeaway. He's clearly guilty. And now if you're a Yankees fan, what you have to hope is that somehow he finds a way to be the same pitcher that he's been without using spider tack or whatever else it is.
But he ain't gonna be the same pitcher, Rico. He's not. I mean, see the difference in strikeouts that he had his last year in Pittsburgh versus his first year in Houston. His strikeout total went up 80 count strikeouts. Like, it's unbelievable what he turned himself into down in Houston. And it's hard to believe that it's not because of putting stuff on the baseball, man. It just is. So, I mean, moving forward, he's not going to be the same guy.
Wow.
But you're just hoping that he's going to be an effective pitcher. You're hoping that he can find a way to be able to string together quality starts. That's what you want. But it's not going to be, seven innings of one-run ball.
It's not going to be that. Too. I mean, no one thought Verlander was going to be the pitcher he was when he went from Detroit to Houston.
No, he was traded for nothing.
But that for me is the biggest problem I have with it. Is, again, baseball is complicit with what's going on, and now this is the time they choose.
That's right. Until they're not. He should have done like what Gump did in Forrest Gump when they asked him about, what do you think about the war in Vietnam? And they pulled the plug, and he's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's all I have to say about the war.
That's what the Yankees PR people should have done, Dave. Pulled the plug.
I will answer it one time and one time only. They pulled the plug. He goes yammering on, and then he's like, I'll never answer it again, but that's what I think about spider tack in Major League Baseball. Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. A lot to say. But, I think with Jared Cole, I mean, look, I'll definitely think it's unfair that he's kind of become the poster boy for this when this thing has happened. I have no idea, like, who's sleeping it, you know, over there with the Yankees, because he absolutely should have known that they were going to come after him. And all he really needed to say is, look, yeah, I've used it. The ball's slick, and I needed it to just get a better grip. And I think most people would have probably got off.
No, you don't do that.
They wouldn't have.
No, you don't do that.
But that's the conundrum you're in. You can't.
Nah,
it's almost like it's almost like you leave it up to people to decide whether or not they think you're using it.
Yeah, better to be thought of as a cheater than to open your mouth and admit that you were a cheater.
Yeah, it's better
to
be David.
Admitted in any way.
Well, no, but it's better to be. What's it better? Would you rather be right now, Dave? Alex Rodriguez or David Ortiz?
I'd rather be David Ortiz.
Ortiz.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Because we don't, I mean, we suspect it.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the one time he popped positive, but they're trying to say it could have been other things. Or A-Rod who got caught. We know he didn't. Like, obviously, you want, I mean, there's still a chance that David Ortiz is probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's so many other ways that Gerrit Cole could have handled that would have been a lot better than what he did yesterday.
Well, your answer was the best.
What he did yesterday was an embarrassment.
Give me your answer again, Chris. I want to revisit
that. Well, I completely forgot it. We're going to have to go back and listen to it. But what I will say is if Major League Baseball is investigating it now, then when Gerrit Cole was asked directly about what he was using, why not just defer to Major League Baseball's investigation, saying it's an ongoing investigation? I'm not going to speak directly to that, but what I will say is if baseball is planning on cracking down on it, then I will be in compliance with the rules that Major League Baseball and the MLBPA come up with. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Don't acknowledge the past, spin it forward to the future, and deflect away from what you're doing personally.
I plead the fifth.
And, yeah, exactly.
And
it's pleading the fifth without pleading the fifth.
Possible.
Unless I see a picture of R. Kelly with his grandmother, I plead the fifth.
Let's go to Mark in Florida. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Darn. Hey, good morning, guys. Quick comment about a common theme of this whole scandal. Goes back to Houston, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
Yeah, it seems to.
Yeah, I mean, first the batters are knowing what pitches are coming, and now, you know, Gerrit Cole goes from the Pirates to the Astros, and they're working on spin rates, and, you know, he's Cy Young. So, just unbelievable.
See, that's the other thing, too, that pisses me off. It's like, we're going to let it go on for as long as we feel it's not hurting the sport, but don't get too good at it. Because if you get too good at it, then we're going to have a problem with it.
That's
like
right.
The Astros cheated.
If you make a mockery of the sport, we're going to have to crack down. But
exactly
if you're
right.
Just good enough that it makes it more entertaining and fun, well, then it's going to be fun. If it was only Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer and everyone else was the same pitcher they've always been, you would not have them cracking down on this right now.
If Barry Bonds wasn't destroying records, it wouldn't have been as big a deal as it was. That's what happened. I mean, those guys, McGuire, Sosa, they started destroying records that had stood for years and years and years, which to your point is making a mockery of the sport. Like now
making a mockery of the sport is exactly what it's doing. All right, Aaron Boone from yesterday. Have you seen some of this spider tack around the clubhouse?
I have not seen that in our clubhouse. I've seen pictures of a ball and what it looks like, I guess.
Aaron Boone's like, don't bring this to my front door, man. I ain't heard nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not involved with that.
I've seen photos.
Doesn't it sound a lot like what Bill Belichick did with Deflategate?
Yes.
It sounds exactly the same, man. Like, I don't want to know what was going on. If they were doing it, I didn't know, and I didn't sanction anything like this going on with this team. That's on the pitching staff.
I swear that Deflategate was the reason why the Belichick Brady relationship fell apart.
Mm. Why? Because Brady had to take the fall?
He had to.
Belichick would have been hammered. He would have been
kicked out of the sport.
That's right.
So Brady's like, okay, are you going to make me take the blame for this? And now I'm going to be the cheater?
To me, those balls are perfect.
Because clearly it didn't affect Brady. I mean, you saw what he like. The ball fully inflated. It didn't really make a difference to him.
But it made a difference to those running backs and receivers.
Exactly
not fumbling.
Right. Exactly
made a huge
right.
difference for them.
So you sit down with me and you say, hey, listen, Tom, I know the ball's going to, I mean, it's not going to affect you much. You can throw it 10.5, whatever it is, not going to affect you, but I can promise you at 10.5, these running backs, they aren't going to fumble. How would you like that? If my running backs aren't going to ever fumble, I'll sign up for
good.
That. So, of course, I mean, that's, I don't know, man. This is what happens when you're not hard and fast on the rules and you have, you know, people with this
kind
of money.
Gray area.
But you nobody. Even, but it's the same thing with analytics, though, too. Like, now it's to the extreme, and now it's hurting the sport. And now people are like, oh, and get rid of the shift and everything else. Well, if you allow guys to continue to find, you know, these ways to improve themselves and gain advantages, they're going to do it. They're not going to be just happy. Like, if sunscreen and rosin is good, I can promise you I can find something that's better.
That's right. And I'll push it as far as I can because it means tremendous success and it means lots and lots of money. And I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes.
It means winning. It means tons of money. And I look around and these guys are doing it.
Yep.
And
it
now,
means adulation. It means absolutely everything.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I am known as a multitasker. I can do many things.
Can you?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out on July 3rd.
Really?
we'll find out. I don't know. It's never been
Can I
tested.
Ask you a question?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question quick. And by the way, Dave, I got a doozy for Stump Rothenberg.
Is it a good question, though?
Terrific question.
All right. I'll be the judge of that.
Topical. Oh, you don't love it. Do you think we're at this point with all the sticky substances if baseball wasn't so dependent on analytics right now? Like, as a pitcher, would you know, like, unless it was brought to your attention by the people that are studying all these things, that, you know, what the increased RPMs could do for your fastball? Like, would there be such a focus on it that as there is now?
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably
I don't think
not.
So. You want to blame the nerds now, Rick?
Well, I think it's part. I mean, look at the game now. I mean, I blame the nerds for a lot of what's happening in the game right now.
Well, the game is, I mean, let's be fair, you still like it and you'll still watch it, but the game is, it's not good. It's
no,
not a
but
good
it's not
place.
The game that you like. It's your team that you like. It's not the game. It's not the actual game.
Yeah, what, the entertainment value in watching a baseball game has drastically changed since I was a kid.
Can you sit there and watch, maybe you guys can, and you'll say, what are you, out of your mind? Sit there and watch from beginning to end without focusing on something else a full baseball game at this point?
No.
I can't either.
No, there's got to be something else going on. And like, I've got to be doing something else.
Like, I'll make a phone call. Yeah. I'll be on the computer. I'll be looking up stuff for the show. I'll be, you know, scheduling baseball.
You don't
games.
Look up
like,
stuff for the show. Something. Stop it.
What does that mean?
You don't. Like, you mean in the morning you look up stuff for the show. You mean?
You don't think I prepare throughout the day for what's going to happen in the show?
No, I know you do. I'm just busting your chops.
Uh-huh.
You know what I do enjoy watching, though, is college baseball.
Oh, Coco Gauff had a meltdown, by the way, just there. Oh, my God. RJ probably saw it 3 minutes ago. Ooh, she attacked her racket. Went crazy. Why are you laughing? Go ahead, college baseball. What about it?
No, see, this is the problem, though, Chris. You know this when we're in studio. He does the same thing to us. We'll be talking for like 5 minutes, and we can see that he's not paying attention to anything we're saying.
I heard exactly what you said. You said something about college baseball.
Yeah, but I'm not looking to just say it.
He treats us like a baseball game, Rico. He's doing something else.
I'm not looking to just say it.
While he's trying to drive our radio show.
I'm looking to start up a conversation.
Go ahead.
I enjoy watching college baseball.
And I'm supposed to, we're supposed to draw a huge conversation on that? I do as well, Rick.
Oh, I mean, it's the same as your Knicks take.
They're really fun to watch.
The Knicks were fun. I enjoy college baseball. All right, great. Moving on to the team that you...
The Knicks are great. I love watching this
team. Did you want to make a statement on college baseball? Like,
no, I just think it's more... you watch college baseball. It's more exciting. Like, how much the kids enjoy playing the game. Like, that's... For me, like, the biggest difference between... Because I watch both of them. Watching the Mets and watching the Yankees is... To me, the Yankees are boring. The Mets, at least, even if they're losing, they have enough personality. Like, Lindor always has a smile on his face. Like, they play with some juice. The Yankees don't play with any juice. Like, they don't look like they enjoy doing what they're doing. Like, it's just, it looks
it's
like...
It's kind of formulaic with the Yankees.
It's like, yeah, they're out there to do a job.
Like, they're robots, almost.
Exactly.
You know what? It looks like a job with the Yankees. This guy might be looking for a job. How much longer can you trot out David Peterson every fifth day? I mean, he's.
Well, tell me your options.
You know what? You better pray to God that Carrasco and or Syndergaard gets healthy quickly, because he's.
But didn't I say this to you a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, that was a little bit of a concern to me, is that
Peterson.
You have the three, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
DeGrom's great. Stroman's been really good. But then at that point, now that Carrasco's been pushed back, Syndergaard, I mean, that's, you were looking forward to getting those guys back.
Sure.
So 4 and 5, you're thin. Like, if Peterson doesn't pitch well, you're in trouble. Like, that's not sustainable. For your bullpen, it's not sustainable.
If he could just give you 5 innings, though, Rick.
But he can't.
5 innings. I mean, this is the second start in a row where the offense gives you some early run support. You get a lead, and then the guy just gives it right back.
Oh, it's disgusting. I mean, last time out, they were up 4-0. He couldn't get out of the first, and the game was tied. And last night, against a team that stinks, you have a 2-0 lead. Alonso hits the home run, and you give it away right away.
They have been hot. I mean, just the Baltimore has been hot recently, offensively. Just saying. Well, just saying, not trying to make excuses, but I'm just saying.
It feels like every team is hot when they're going up against David Peterson.
2 2/3 yesterday? You can't have that.
Well, especially because you got one out in your last start. You won a third of an inning.
That's not good. But you know what? What's troubling as well is that they stand by it. They say we're going to start him again.
Dave.
Because they have no choice.
They have no choice. Your options are Joey Lucchese. You got Yamamoto. I mean, tell me, where are we going?
Well, you tell me, is Yamamoto not a better option than Peterson at this point?
I don't think that Yamamoto has. I think Peterson, when he pitches well, is better than Yamamoto.
I would agree with that. But the problem is, Peterson, when was the last time he actually went out there and pitched respectably well?
See, but that, I mean, that's the issue. I think there's more upside with Peterson, and because they don't have any other great options, so they're going to stick with him and hope hopefully he figures it out. I mean, that has to be what your mindset is. I mean, here's his last four starts.
Yeah,
He went 4 2/3, gave up 3 earned runs. Then he went 6, 3 earned runs. Then he went the third of an inning, gave up 5, and then last night 2 2/3 in the 4 earned runs.
Oh, those are disasters. Disasters.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, not even a little bit. Here is the Mets manager Luis Rojas on Peterson's performance last night. He's gathering
just missing spots, you know, missing pitches over the plate that are, you know, hittable. And then, you know, also with secondary pitches that are ball out of the hand. So I think those are affecting him. They're creating those situations that we saw tonight with the sequence of driven balls, a bunch of doubles, extra base hits. But, you know, he did bounce back in that inning and was able to get out of it and then had a good start in the other one. But it's just a repetition of the mistakes just kept happening and led to another short outing for it.
How does he put a positive spin on the outing last night?
I know. I could listen to him. His pressers are my favorite. I love
them. It almost sounds like
they're almost
as
bad as Garrett Cole's. Almost. Well, like, they're cringeworthy.
It almost like he takes the words and just like, I'll take that there and put that there. And it's
I don't know
like
exactly who it is.
Post game Mad Lib.
The driven balls.
Outside of the driven balls. I mean, he did get out of the inning. Luis, he went 2 2/3 last night.
Well, I mean, what do you want him to say, though? I mean, he doesn't want to kill his pitcher.
I understand, but it's
a guy who's going to make his next start.
But to put a positive spin about your outing last night, I mean, that was a dreadful outing from him.
Last two have not been good, no.
No.
They've been awful. And if you remember, his first outing in Philadelphia was dreadful as well. Let's hear from Peterson. Here is the Mets starter on his recent struggles.
I think we're just going through a rough patch right now. Coming to the ballpark every day, trying to get better and trying to straighten this thing out. But, you know, I mean, that's all I can keep doing is showing up and working hard and trying to put this back on the straight and narrow.
You know what he should have said? I'm not using the sticky stuff, damn it. And this is what happens.
You should have used it last night before it goes
you
out.
You want me to use the spider tech? Because I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Oh, I'll use it. What do you expect from me? This is what happens when you don't cheat.
Get hammered. 2 2/3. Not good. Better than the third of an inning from last time out.
Those last two starters giving you combined 3 innings.
3 innings. And how many runs?
3 innings, and you got nine.
Yeah,
nine runs.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good for the ERA.
Killing your bullpen.
Does sound like the Mets are getting healthier, though, right? Like McNeil said that he's going to be back at some point soon. Conforto is not far behind that. So at least
that makes you feel good. When are you going to be back? Sometime soon.
Well, no, it sounds like a couple of weeks now for McNeil. Like he's going to start rehabbing.
Yeah, but he was pushed back, though. Remember, I mean, he was this. Like he was one of the guys, like him and Conforto. Yeah, McNeil, I think.
They said the end of June, right? They said
like,
end
you didn't
of
think
June.
He would take yeah. like I didn't think McNeil would be this long. But then you got the word that it would be end of June, and it sounds like McNeil's ahead of
yeah,
of
he is
Conforto's
a little bit ahead
back.
Of
yeah.
Conforto, yes.
Yeah, I give them tons of credit, though, man. I mean, even with, I mean, I lost to Baltimore, which wasn't obviously what you want against Baltimore. We'll get Harvey tonight. It's, I mean, what they've been able to do with this team with the amount of injuries.
Awesome. I mean, to split in San Diego was a phenomenal job by them.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best teams in baseball, San Diego. And you get to see them again, too.
Nothing great, right away. At least you got DeGrom going up against him again.
Isn't that great, though, watching DeGrom go up against
that
lineup?
Nothing. Is it the best thing to, like, the best appointment television in sports right now? And I know the Islanders playing in Game 6 of the postseason, of course, is bigger. But, I mean, just as far as, like, a regular season game, is there anything that's more appointment viewing than DeGrom every fifth day?
You're talking about individual player?
Yes.
It's Dave. You'd be hard pressed to beat a Jacob DeGrom start. I mean,
Kevin Durant
right now
is pretty must-watch TV.
Yeah, but Jacob DeGrom is just so dominant, Rico. I'm not saying that KD's not, but like Jacob DeGrom is just on another level. Like I don't know that we've seen a pitcher in our lifetime be as dominant as what Jacob DeGrom is right now. Like I've seen other NBA players dominate competition like KD is doing right now, but I don't know that I've ever seen or I remember seeing a pitcher. Do what Jacob DeGrom is doing.
Probably not. I mean, probably the most dominant player in sports. No,
I would say so.
Don't do that. I see what you're doing right now. I see what you're doing right now. I'm not gonna let you do it. I stand by my Aaron Donald take.
No, you
damn
don't.
It. I do.
No,
I stand
no,
by it.
Come on. No, you don't.
I stand by it.
No,
I stand by
just
it.
Own it. Just
I
just,
stand. No,
no,
I'm not gonna do it.
Why would
I'm
you?
Not gonna
that's,
do it.
You're just. Being
I'm
obstinate.
Not gonna
you're,
do it, Dave.
You're just being stubborn.
No, I'm not being stubborn. I'm not being stubborn.
You come on.
Aaron Donald's won Defensive Player of the Year 3 of the last 4 years. I'm not being stubborn. I'm not. Damn it. Aaron Donald's dominant.
No one's
Lord Donald. He actually moved up to Lord Donald.
Lord Donald.
The Hawks, when they were coached by Lord Pierce.
I like how he corrects himself and says the same exact thing.
It's not one of those easy names to pronounce, Dave. It's not an easy name to pronounce.
But I love the mindset of, I messed up, let me backtrack and correct it and say the exact same thing.
Yeah. I should have just gave up on it like I did with Alex Rodriguez. Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
See how I just gave up at the end of
that
one?
It should have been like Lord Pierce. Oh, man.
The Hawks, when they were coached by Lord Pierce. Yeah, not my finest moment.
Let me double down here.
Yeah, not my finest moment.
Sir, you want to double down on a 4? Yes, I would like to.
I think Ohtani's in the mix, too, obviously.
To another win. We know he's... Let me do that again. And don't make that a drop, please. You're such a bad guy.
Ohtani, too. I mean, you mentioned DeGrom. Ohtani, too, has to be on that. Must-watch TV. When he hits and pitches in the same game.
He is phenomenal. He hit another one last night.
A bomb.
Yeah.
Bomb last night.
And Acuna's not far off, either.
You know what's crazy, though? Yeah, but Acuna's... I mean, another one was, too. Though. You only get to see him hit...
Well, that's
four or five times a game. That's
exactly.
The beauty of a starting pitcher. But you know what's crazy about DeGrom is he's probably the best athlete on the Mets.
Yeah, him or Stroman.
Well, I mean, I think Lindor is a good athlete too, but I just think, I mean, you see how fast?
Like, did you Jake see the play he made the other day when the ball was hit to the right side? And he like a cat, and he's such a big guy. He jumped off the mound, got to it, flipped it over to first, and it was an easy play. That was a very difficult play.
Oh, he's a shortstop.
Well, I know. He came up as a shortstop.
Yeah, but when you just watch him run. Like, watch him run down the line. Like, I'm scared to death that he's going to pull something, but he flies down the line.
There's nothing that he does non-pitching that doesn't terrify me. Every single time he comes to the plate, I'm like, oh, God. That's why when I mentioned a couple weeks ago when he went sliding into second base, I was scared. You're like, no, that's what he does. That's what athletes do. Doesn't mean it's not going to scare
me. Well, he's an athlete. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, what he does.
But it's terrifying.
I wonder, Ohtani's different, though, because, I mean, you see what he's doing, hitting home runs and everything else. I wonder what kind of hitter Jacob DeGrom could be. If he was an everyday player.
I think he'd be
very
good.
Or if he gave that opportunity. Because he's a good, I mean, he's a legitimately pretty good hitter.
No, he's a very good hitter. How about that? Did you see this, by the way? I think it was the day that you took off earlier this week. You decided to see this. we discussed this. He has allowed 4 earned runs this year and driven in 3.
Yeah. I mean, that's who he's been. I mean, that's
incredible.
Dave, I was looking at something last night, like his, you know, his nine starts in comparison to the Bob Gibson's first.
It's
nine.
Better.
It's
better.
It's
almost twice as good.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. His area is, what, 0.62? All right, we'll get to this more of this in the 7 o'clock hour, and Buster only with us at 7:15. RJ's like, come on, let's go. All right, let's go. Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, welcome to Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the good people, my dear friends at BetMGM Sports. We're rolling along. Wednesday morning, Stump Rothenberg. We started out with Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DC. What's up, Drive Time?
What's up, Andy? You're up. That's what's up.
I'm very up. You would think I'm going Islanders today, Dave, but I'm saving it for your Saturday morning hockey show.
Oh, that's a
no. We're
very
going
well.
Nets today, David.
Okay,
we're going Nets.
Shan that show.
I'm ready. Don't pay any mind to him, Andy. Go ahead.
Nah. 39's all right by me. Listen, there's only been two men that have been a head coach of the Nets for more than four seasons. Can you name them?
Nets head coach. It's not going to be Kenny Atkinson. God, everyone I think of was very brief. How long was... I'm going to guess Lawrence Frank was there for more than four seasons.
Seven seasons. You got one more.
Calipari was short. Willis Reed was short. Bill Fitch was short. Chuck Daly was not long. God. Karnaseca might have been right there. Oh, all right. How about Byron Scott?
No, my friend.
Oh, no.
4 years. The great Kevin Lockery from 1974 to 1982.
Oh, that stinks.
What a brutal
stay
start.
Stay healthy, boys.
Oh.
It's a good question, though.
It's not a bad question.
Good question. Yep.
That's a horrendous start. That's your guy, too.
All right. I don't need you to get all over me. You're supposed to be a positive
the man who
teammate.
Finances Rothenberg Enterprises.
And welcome aboard.
On the podcast.
Just slaps you around right
all
there.
All right. Listen, shut up for a second. It's time for your question, this great question that you have.
All right, here we go. This is—I mean, you're gonna love this question.
No, we'll see.
So, Nikola Jokic wins MVP.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know this or not. He actually made history. He was the lowest drafted player ever to win the NBA's MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me who previously held the record? It's two players for lowest drafted players to win the MVP. It's two of them, players.
So it's multiple players that have tied Jokic in the MVP.
Correct.
God.
A huge disparity, too, by the way. Like, Jokic was 41st. Drafted number 41.
And this is a long time ago.
No.
It's recent?
Drafted. I didn't say undrafted. I said drafted. You need some sticky stuff? What do you need?
No. And this is somewhat recently?
These are current players, yeah. Well, no. One's a current player. One is...
You're going to give it away.
Yeah, I can't give it away. One's a current player. One is...
Yep.
Involved in the NBA.
15th overall?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash.
That's one.
Come on, Dave. One. Come
I
on, Dave.
I know it. And this is another somewhat
yes.
recent one?
Yes.
Giannis.
My man.
There you go, Dave.
Back on track, David.
Okay. All right. We're 1-1.
Good question, Rico.
Yes.
Good question.
Yes.
Let's go to Danny, Long Island. Good morning, Danny. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. Let me just say today is my anniversary, and my son has a varsity baseball game, and I will be walking on the boardwalk with my wife, taking her to a beautiful restaurant.
See, Danny.
You know what, Dave? The games never end. He plays 100 games a year. There's always a game. Get the assistant coach to take your kid and spend the day with your wife. Because I learned a long time ago, and my oldest son is 30, so I've been doing this for 20 years, four boys, our presence is not required at the game. I'll leave it at that. Take your beautiful bride and enjoy a nice day. Get away from the field, and your son will probably also.
Here's
be
what I'm gathering from this: your child plays way too many games if he's playing 100 games a year.
I was thinking the same thing.
Is in the news day yesterday for throwing a shutout. By the way,
wow! Congratulations.
All right, listen, you're getting in the way of Stump Rothenberg, Danny. Come on.
Okay, last week Major League Baseball paid homage to Lou Gehrig and brought highlight to his disease.
Okay.
Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth played together for 9 years, forming the famous Murderers Row. In those 9 years, how many years did the Yankees actually win the World Series? The famous duo, the greatest lineup ever, how many times did they win the World Series in 9 years?
All right.
Before load management and spin ratio.
This is a multi-part question because I got to figure out what 9 years they played together. Well, they won in 27. That I know. So it's Ruth and Gehrig.
Do you want me to give you the years they played together? Make it a little easier.
I don't know. The guys will have to judge. We'll have to judge on that.
Sal, otherwise, it's give me the years, Sal.
It's not the Sal, years? Danny.
No, I know. I was going to ask if I was asking for the Sal sound, where he says, if I give you the year, would it help?
All right. So if they're saying it's okay, I'll take the years.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it. I don't want the year. 1925 to 1934.
All right. So the Yankees won in 27, 28, and 32.
Final answer?
Final answer, three, yes.
You are correct, my friend.
All right. There you go.
Nicely done.
Half credit.
No, that's not fair.
No, that counts. That counts. He offered it up, Rico.
I said, is it okay? And you guys said yes.
Well, let's go to Sal. Give me the year. I know you'll get it.
All right, let's go to Mr. Year, Sal and Duchess. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, CDR. I had to change it up a little bit because the first guy, you know.
I appreciate if you would sing to us every week, Sal. Go ahead.
Thanks. Okay, here we go. This is a movie question.
All right.
The movie. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
They had three Oscar winners in it. Who are they? I'll give you the year if you need it.
No, I don't need the year.
I'll give you the year. I know you'll get it. 1982.
I believe Sean Penn.
Obvious, yep.
Yeah, he's won an Oscar. Forrest Whitaker, I believe, has won an Oscar.
You got it. One more.
And I believe he was originally born with the name Nicholas Coppola, but changed it since to Nicholas Cage.
Okay, guys. I'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Nicholas Cage is an awful actor, too. I can't stand
right?
him.
Right?
I think you might be burying the lead there. Maybe.
That was good work. Now, I felt like you knew it, though. The second he asked you that question, I felt like you knew it, though.
That's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I know that. That's
Eric
where I thought you
Stoltz
knew it
also in that movie. I mean, the Phoebe Kate scene.
Your muscles freeze. You can't breathe. You spasm so hard you break your own back and spit your guts out.
But then there you have it.
Your skin melts off.
There you have it. That is Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, your props, and future bets at the king of all sports books and get the app today. I was this close to going undefeated today.
And it was your guy that tripped you up.
Kevin Lockery, only standing in my way.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Buster Olney. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing better than Gerrit Cole at the moment. So yesterday was just, it was a bizarre press conference. We know that. Let me ask you this. How much do you think, do you think we could have seen the last of the great Gerrit Cole moving forward? Or do you think this doesn't have a huge impact on what he is?
No, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on the reality that he's one of the best pitchers in the game. Will his performance perhaps lag backward along with that of every other pitcher in baseball? Yeah, I think there is a chance of that, because I think it's pretty clear that essentially what's happened is that pitchers have weaponized in recent years the use of foreign substances, and now we're having the revolt of the position players, and we're going to see an adjustment as we move forward. And I would say this, look, you know, Ken Davidoff, who asked the question of the New York Post, he's an excellent reporter. I've known him for a long time. It's an absolutely fair question. But I do think as we have this conversation, we do have to keep context and keep everything in context that, you know, Garrett, Trevor Bauer, others who ask these questions, this is a sport-wide issue that everybody has known has been going on, and nobody did anything about it. It was so much like the sign-stealing stuff. It was so much like the steroids. No one did anything about it. Now there's going to be more focus on it, but it's not only Garrett Cole, it's not only Trevor Bauer and a few elite pitchers. It's sport-wide.
Buzz, let me ask you a question. Do you think we ever get to this point with, you know, the spider tack and all these different foreign substances if the sport hadn't become so reliant on analytics? Like, would guys even know?
I think that absolutely fueled it, because in recent years, you know, as pitchers became more aware on and began to focus on, look, you know, what makes my delivery more efficient? What makes my spin rate more efficient? You know, this is how I can be better in my mechanics that make myself better. Oh, you know how else I can make my spin rate better? Rather than using sunscreen, let's try, you know, the spider tack, or let's try the super glue stuff that's being mixed by a clubhouse guy that I know. That's part of how we got here. And let's face it, part of how we got here, too, is that Major League Baseball has not enforced the rule that's on the books. And you know, in that vacuum of inaction, we are where we are, with the offensive numbers are way down, and we're now getting the pushback from the position players.
Buster, you brought up the PED scandal and the electronic sign stealing scandal. Baseball put in rules to legislate those things moving forward in the offseason, so it gave players a few months to be able to understand the rules and then to be able to adjust. With this, they're going to oppose this when we're at the third of the season or approaching the halfway mark in the season. Like, what do you expect to see from the players, and how is this going to be, you know, I guess, how is this going to be impacted in terms of how Major League Baseball disciplines guys accordingly in the middle of the season?
Yeah, and from what I understand, a memo is going to go out, you know, later this week, perhaps, with the finalization of what they're going to talk about in terms of penalties. At the owners' meetings last week, they were talking about 10 days without pay. And part of what they're trying to do, obviously, is to scare users into not using by having essentially these, you know, equivalent to DUI checks on pitchers as they come off the mound. You know, show me your hand, show me your glove, show me your belt. And the reason why, and look, Chris, I mean, no sport moves more slowly than baseball when it comes to change. And so it's remarkable that you're having, you know, a mid-season change like we're having. But two things are at play here. One, the incredible diminishment of offensive numbers, you know, historic diminishment of offensive numbers and action and things that baseball wants. And two, just like with the PED stuff, you know, back in 2000, 2001, the players who wanted to be clean, they revolted. And they began to realize in a zero-sum competition that the guys who were using had a competitive advantage, and they pushed the union leadership for change on drug testing. That's what's gone on this first third of the season. From what I understand, there are position players sending in videotape into Central Baseball saying, look at this guy and what he's doing, and what are we doing about it? You know, that's how we are in this moment.
Buster Olney with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Very interesting conversation here on a Wednesday morning. So do you think this is a cold turkey, Buster, that it's just guys don't do it anymore? Or do you still expect guys to try to finagle the system, and until they get caught, they'll in some semblance try to use the sticky stuff that they've been using?
I do think that you will see a lot of players, a lot of pitchers stop. Because they don't want the scrutiny. You know, other pitchers are going to, you know, see the uncomfortable answer and the question and answer with Garrett Cole yesterday, and they're going to go,
you know, there but for the grace of God go I don't want that. You know, they're going to be concerned about suspensions, but we also can't be naive. You know, if you're a 28 or 29-year-old reliever and you've been bouncing around as a 4A player, the minor leagues, and suddenly you're using spider tack, your nasty slider became really nasty, and you know that that might be the difference between you being a big leaguer and not, I think guys will try to find ways to, you know, maybe tuck it in a different place in their glove or put it in their pant leg or, you know, put it someplace on their belt. I just think that's human nature. And again, it's absolutely their parallels to the steroid era where, you know, you had essentially career minor leaguers who suddenly got jacked up and were hitting 30 home runs and increasing their value and increasing their contracts.
Well, the other thing too, Buster, is, I mean, even I mean, starting, especially in the minor leagues, is they're not really, I mean, they're not grooming these kids to learn how to pitch. They're, I mean, you throw hard, you have high velocity, you have high spin rate, and you got, I mean, two pitches. I mean, there's a strong possibility you're going to be up in the majors. Like, that's, I mean, that's what they're creating right now in this sport.
Right. And it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to be fascinated by the before and after, and I don't know the exact date that they're going to start the, you know, the policing, the checking of pitchers. I heard it could be as soon as June 14th, you know, 5 days from now. But we're all going to be looking at the before and after. You know, just as last week, Josh Donaldson was talking about Gerrit Cole's start after the four minor leaguers were suspended. We're all going to be talking about, okay, what are the offensive numbers after the umpires started checking? You know, how different is the pitching? How different is the implementation of the pitching and the use of analytics? Because maybe we get back to a point where, you know, that nasty reliever with the 28 years old with a great slider, maybe that guy goes away and you find that you have to rely more on the Gerrit Coles and Trevor Bowers for effective pitching.
Buster, I want to ask you, what's your sense that you get about how serious Major League Baseball is about this thing? So say, for instance, we're talking about the Yankees and Gerrit Cole having a postseason start. And, you know, an umpire finding something on Gerrit Cole, some kind of foreign substance, are they going to toss him? Are they going to pull him out of a postseason start?
From what I understand, you know, what's going to happen, there are going to be 8 to 10 random checks during the course of games in the regular season. And if they find something on the pitcher, then the intention is that they're going to eject them. The expectation is, from what I understood the other day, my conversations, it would be a starting pitcher is probably going to get checked at least twice a game because they know that there's a possibility if they were to check a pitcher in the first inning that guy goes and you know, maybe puts something in his glove and is on that long string that hangs off his glove, that sort of thing, in between the half inning. And I think they would carry through because, let's face it, it's like when they put in drug testing in baseball for the first time in 2003, that was a clear declaration within the sport. Okay, we have a devotion to trying to create a level playing field. And I think that's what, you know, the first day that umpires actually go out and start to enforce the rule in a way that they haven't before this, that's going to be, okay, this is a line in the sand, and we'll see what happens going forward. One of my questions is, you know, will that gentleman's agreement between managers that's existed for so long, will that start to evaporate once pitchers get yanked off the field, get suspended, and teams begin to have a disadvantage? And will teams begin to evaluate opposing pitchers and say, look, in the third inning, that guy's spin rate just jumped. Please go out and check the pitcher.
Buster, I just wish that baseball would be proactive about trying to fix some of the issues that plague the sport as opposed to just being reactive with every single thing. But, I mean, I guess my last question to you would be, I know this feels like a knee-jerk reaction because of the lack of offense and that affecting the entertainment value of the sport, but do you think them cracking down on these foreign substances on the baseball is actually going to have the impact that Major League Baseball is looking for it to have?
I think there's a good chance of it. Look, you know, when you talk to, you know, hitters and you talk to, you know, hitting coaches, they say the stuff they're seeing now is unlike anything they've seen. I had a general manager say to me in early April, he was the one who predicted that there'd be 15 to 20 no-hitters this year. He goes, it's a joke. You got basically guys throwing 98-mile-an-hour whiffle ball with the balls moving. I do think it's going to help, but I also completely agree with you that you wish that baseball would learn the lesson that it needs to act. I've been writing about this for 10 years. You know, that whole Michael Pineda situation that happened when he had the gob of pine tar on his neck.
It's a birthmark.
The next day, I talked to John. Yeah, I talked to John Farrell, the Red Sox manager, the next day. He said, I didn't want to pull him off the field, but it was a rare situation where it was so obvious that they had no choice. They didn't deal with it, and so that's where we are, and that's why they have to do this boomerang in midseason.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, last couple for me. These are quick ones. I have to imagine over the last couple of years, guys have been using the same stuff they're using this year. How much of this has to do with the new baseball? And second part of the question is not related to the baseball more. How is it possible that we have instant replay and we still manage to replay calls and still get them wrong?
To answer the second one, it's mind-boggling. I think there's been incredible lack of leadership for Major League Baseball on this. To me, you know, in the 1 year I covered the NFL, you see the NBA, when mistakes are made, just acknowledge it. Just say we screwed up. The sport is full of failure, and people would respect the fact if they were to come out and say, yeah, we blew that instant replay call, and we're going to try to get better going forward. That's all anybody at the team level wants, and it hasn't happened yet. There needs to be statements from Rob Manfred or from Mike Hill, who's the head of baseball operations, on-field stuff. And in regards to the substances, I think, you know, what's changed in the last few years is they went from using, you know, relatively benign substances, the sunscreen, the rosin, stuff that were more common, to using substances that actually essentially allowed pitchers to put a lever on the baseball where you could. And this is what Trevor Bauer's been screaming about for 4 years. Look, if you want to increase your spin rate, you use this other substance. And it's long past time when baseball needed to put a check on this.
Buster, we know you got to run. We appreciate a couple minutes. It's wild stuff. We'll talk to you hopefully with better times in Major League Baseball in the not-so-distant future. Good stuff as always. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, that, of course, is Buster only.
See, I don't buy that.
What?
I don't buy that all of a sudden this year is the year that everyone just found spider tack in this stuff.
I don't think so either.
You don't think there's a direct correlation that they just now changed the baseball and all of a sudden it's moving around like a wiffle ball?
It's unhittable.
Okay, so what is it the spider tack and the sticky stuff, or is it the combination of the both?
I think it's a combination of the both.
Okay, so it's baseball again. Like, oh, there's too many home runs, which people don't like because now
how do we dumb that down? We'll change the baseball. Now that the new baseball in combination with all the stuff that they use on it, it becomes completely unhittable.
Exactly.
Yep.
Correct.
No, I would agree with that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.